All right, part five continued. This is Wednesday night, 7/27/22. This is part five continued in our series on the balance series on authentic faith, the authentic faith journey. And tonight we're going to talk about, it's continued from Sunday. Don't let your suffering be in vain. And the undercaption was how the dictates of the flesh provokes our faith and also reveals the power of the promise. The promise being the Holy Spirit, which we know in turn is the Father is endorsing to bring results. We learn this later, obviously, in the series, but we gotta add what we know to what we're hearing now. So our flesh is the driving force in which pushes us to the post. Now, in this message, we didn't hear that, but we are blessed that we can add this to what he was revealing, how he was taking us step by step to the revelation of waiting at the post of his doors. And that would be the place that we learn to really settle in authentic faith. For at the post of his doors, we understand that the temperament of the Lord is there at the post of his doors. Mm-hmm. And it's continued actually from the message entitled "The Dictates of the Flesh Provoke Our Faith." So here's what Paul said to the Galatians, diving right in. And so remember that. I want to just before I get launch out into the deep here, remember that God wants us to understand that the dictates of our flesh is really designed to provoke our faith, which we know our faith being authentic. It's designed to provoke us and push us to the post and to have an exchange and to make an exchange. What's taking place, and I want to master this, and I'm so blessed that we get to go back over it in the balance here, because it's a real strong reminder and a real strong truth that I really want it settled in me, like on a real consistent basis. I want it settled that what I'm feeling in my flesh is there because my faith needs to be turned on. His faith in me needs to be activated. And so Paul said it like this in Galatians 2:20, starting off with a bomb here. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Powerful statement. By the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So he said, I now live in the flesh. He said, the life I live, which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. How did Paul learn to live life in the flesh, but yet be in faith? So now, the word flesh means human nature, with its frailties, weaknesses, physically, morally, and passions. Those are the areas of weakness. Physical, morally, and passions, just some of the areas of weakness. Paul said, I live life here in my frailties. I live by faith in my frailties. Paul had a major revelation. What Paul was saying here is that he learned to use human frailties to tap in to the faith of the Son of God.
Amen.
And the note was back then, use what you got. Oftentimes we have issues and stuff going on in our lives, which we know and we've learned about. But my goodness, I wish we had a conscience mindset to take that very temptation at the moment of temptation, that very frailty at the moment of it being a frailty manifested on you, in you, all around you. I wish we had the mindset to understand that should be a driving force,
yes,
to get me into the faith of the Son of God.
Yes.
That to me, when I read faith of the Son of God, it reads to me the temperament, because that's what his faith was. He was in the perfect temperament of the Father. So my weakness in my flesh should be what's really provoking me to jump in to the temperament or get to the post to where the temperament of Christ can come upon me.
Amen.
That the dictates, listen, I now live, it says here, But Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I learned to take it. Paul described it when we talked about it on Sunday, that in areas of weakness, he would find great strength. He said, there was given unto me a thorn in my flesh. A thorn was given. That way I can always stay in the press or in the knowing that I need to be in the temperament of the Lord, that I need to be in his faith. Mm-hmm. Powerful. Mm-hmm. So we need to learn to utilize the dictates, man, the dictates of the flesh. We need to learn to use them. Don't look at them as such a deficits and hindrances. But man, come on, let's be wise like Paul. Use them as he said there was given. The word given means if there was a gift given to me, it was a gift. I was gifted an issue to keep me in the realm of authentic faith. Amen.
That's good.
Amen. Amen. Galatians 5:17 in the Amplified, in the Classic, it says here, for the desires of the flesh, watch this, are opposed to the Holy Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are opposed to the flesh, godless human nature. For these are antagonistic to each other, continually withstanding and in conflict with each other, so that you are not free, but are prevented from doing what you desire to do. If you sit in the place of conflict, now you stand in the place of stagnation. All right? So if they're conflicting, if there's a conflicting going on between the two, now you're stagnated. But if you utilize what the flesh is trying to tell you to do, and you take its antagonistic way, that it's antagonizing the God nature in you, and you take that and utilize it as what you use to push your way to the post, to the temperament, to making the exchange. Praise God. I had a small altercation within my being right before this message, and I used it to push me deeper into the truth so I could exchange a temperament, take my temperament for his. I used it. It wanted to really kind of bend me out of shape a little bit prior to the meeting, but I said, you know what? This is exactly what I'm teaching on. So I said, let me just jump into this and utilize it, and I'll dive deeper into the temperament of Christ. And it worked. Amen. It worked beautifully. Yeah, I'm not just saying this trying to get, you know, make you feel good or make you smile. No, I'm telling you, I said, you know what? I'm not going to let this upset me. We're not going that way. I'm not going to step into that. I don't even like the way that feels. So I said, you know what? Father, I need you here. And I utilized what was antagonizing the spirit that's in me. And I utilized it to communicate with the Father. And I said, I need you to cut this off my branch. And I need to really get into, I need you, husband man, to cut this off my branch. And I need to step into the full temperament of your son, the full temperament of who you are. I need that. I don't want this feeling on me. I don't like it. I don't want to feel despondent.
That's good.
Because I have an opinion on something. And it's not, my opinion's not being heard. No, I said, no, we're not doing that. We're not going that route. And it felt really good to actually put this in action, to take what was antagonizing my position and utilize it to get deeper position in the temperament of the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So in Galatians, it says it like this in Galatians 3:2-5. Watch this now. We read this on Sunday, but let's read it again. It says, this only would I learn of you. Received you the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Listen to that. Or by the hearing of faith. There's something within hearing that activates the Spirit, that activates the realm of the Spirit, that as we're hearing, the Spirit is activated. He says here to the Galatians, are you so foolish, having begun in the spirit? Are you now made perfect by the flesh? Watch verse 4. Have you suffered so many things in vain? If it be yet in vain, if it, watch this. He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit, watch this, and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Watch this. So now in my hearing, what's activated is that realm I need to be. That's why God wants us to utilize the rhema word to get to the post, so then that the Spirit can move through the endorsement, of course, of the Father who doeth the works. So now the Father will endorse works to happen and give you your transitioning, your repositioning, if you will. So now he says here, but this is really important. Why are you suffering so many things in vain? And there's a major question there. He's saying, what are you thinking here? Why is all your suffering in vain? If it be yet in vain. No, suffering is not in vain. Suffering is meant to push you. Watch this. When I read Galatians 5:17 about how the flesh and the spirit are antagonistic against each other, it puts things in its total perspective for me. This is the old note from back in the day when we read it, when we began the series. It awakens truth in me that says when my flesh isn't moving like God, the spirit in me, which is activated by the hearing of faith, wants to fight for me. But if the truth is told, sometimes, most times, I am not in a place, and sometimes you too, of discerning that. But lately, when my flesh has been challenged, I've dialed into this truth and have experienced the strength and power of the Spirit of promise in me. He has been waiting for me and for you to recognize the greater one that is in us. Amen. He's also proving to be much more powerful and much more resourceful than our flesh.
Amen.
It's time to step into the awareness of his might in times of trouble, no matter what it may be that you're facing. It's here. Now, this is a new note. It's here. I found here in restudying this, the Lord is dropping a breadcrumb about Alpha and Omega fellowship. He's dropping a breadcrumb about the importance all the way back in the beginning of the series. He's dropping a breadcrumb. He's letting us know that we need to step into this. All right. And we need to come in. And so there's a breadcrumb drop. He's waiting to knock the dictates of the flesh completely out and show you and me his salvation. Here it is. In verse 4, it says, have you suffered so many things in vain? This is really confirming that why suffer in vain when the Spirit is ready to fight for you and be fully activated? In other words, why aren't you using your sufferings? Why are they coming? They're not there to be in vain. They are there for you to utilize it, to be pressed to the place of the post so that the Spirit of God can be activated.
That's good. Amen.
He said, why are you just taking it like this? You're taking it lying down. These issues are coming your way. Paul said, these things are gifts. These troubled times, these moments, these deficits, these areas, man, of infirmities, these things are sent so that you can be propelled or pushed into the realm of authentic faith.
Amen.
He's ready to manifest himself in any area that you need him to. Amen. But why will you suffer in vain? Why? My God, we're crazy. We've got to be crazy to have issues and problems and not take those issues and problems, get to the place of the rhema through Christ Jesus, the Lord of the rhema, and you hear or the now word, and you stay in that now word, then you take those things when temperament is transitioned. Now you have the audience of the Father waiting right there. Why would you suffer in vain? Use it. Oh my goodness. And let the man, when you get to the Father, when you reach Omega, when you reach results, now I'm really ahead of myself, but I can't help it. But when you reach the place of the results, the Father, the one who doeth the works, he said, man, you think miracles are going to come by way of the flesh? He said, no, the Spirit don't work miracles among you by the works of the law or self-effort. He does it when faith is being heard. Authentic faith causes miracles. And I tell you this, in this particular verse of scripture, I believe here that it's saying this in a very powerful way, that the hearing of faith is what's coming out of your mouth into the ears of the Spirit. I believe it's what's coming out of our mouths, because he hears the authenticity of where we are in the temperament of our Lord. And he hears that. And that causes the working of miracles.
Hallelujah.
That's where the transitioning. He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law, but by the hearing of faith. Now, he's not doing it because of our own self-efforts. He begins to work miracles because he hears true faith. We've got to get a hold of this. And these problems are being sent to push. My God. For the last week and a half, boy, I've been working on something inside of me. And I refuse to lose my focus on what I've been working on. Excuse me if it sounds like I'm talking about self-effort. Let me tell you what I mean by what I've been working on. I've been getting to the post and I've been discussing this thing with the Father. I have been discussing it. I'll tell you what I've been discussing. I'm a man that should be in total wealth. I know it for sure. God's given me the revelation behind it on so many occasions. And I know that Satan fights me in the area of wealth. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm in bi-directional faith. I'm looking for salvation as I'm talking to him about this. Because in order for me to discuss it, he also discussed things about me that are stopping, or the doors that I leave open that stops the full manifestation. So we're back and forth. But the lack of wealth, I don't want to say I live in lack. Sometimes I do. I'm not going to deny that either. My overhead is quite large, and sometimes I live in lack. It's hard. And so I said, you know what? It shouldn't be like this. And so I've been taking this to the post, not with a fearful concern, but out of the fact that I understand that my world can be reframed. And so this has been the topic of discussion between me and the Father when I reach him. And I'm asking him to train me, to teach me, to show me, to reveal to me. And then I'm asking him for him to become a visual source. And I cannot lie to you. Boy, oh boy, has he been breaking out and doing that. He's become my source. And I've been there working with this and moving with this, but still feeling the old way of doing things, wanting me to come back to it. And that's the antagonistic thing of the flesh that wants to stop the power of the Spirit of my Father from working in me. And I'm seeing miracles. I really am. And I'm seeing where the blessing of God really is for me in the area of finance. I'm offering up my first fruit, and I'm giving my tenth, and I'm worshiping differently. And everything, I'm coming into a better scope of things, because I've been taking this to the post and I've been having these conversations with him there. And I'm letting him know, listen, you're the source here. You're the only source I got. I don't have another source. No, I don't have I've really sketched it down just to you. And it's making such headway. It's making tremendous headway. Yeah. Yep, I'm learning wonderful things there. Here's your breakdown in 1 Peter 1, 3 through 5. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Watch this. Who it's reserved for you, this inheritance, watch this, is reserved, incorruptible, undefiled, and fadeth not away. If you're with me still, say amen.
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 All right. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. There's a comma. Anybody see that comma at the end of you?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Not a period. It's reserved in heaven for you. Pause. You who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in this last time. Your inheritance, incorruptible and undefiled, and fadeth not away. It didn't go nowhere. All your wealth, whether it be spiritual, physical, or financial, all of your wealth doesn't fade. It's in reserve. A prophetess Manita called it a heavenly bank account, if we remember. It's there, people. It really is there. It won't fade away, and it's there. Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. I told you this is where bidirectional faith started to kick in. When faith is there and it's moving unto salvation, the inheritance is released. It's ready to be revealed in this last time. Well, the word time means day. It's ready to come now. All this that belongs to us, everything, man, my God, the blessing of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, all of this, the salvation of Jesus Christ, every bit is ready to be revealed to us. It's ready to come, but it's only coming through faith that is moving unto salvation. There's an inheritance that has been reserved for us that have been kept by the power of God through faith. This once again speaks volumes. We tap into our heavenly bank accounts, our inheritance, our salvation by faith. The Lord was revealing, it's a new note here. The Lord was revealing when things are moving in a negative way, we are supposed to change it and don't allow the sufferings to be in vain. This is how this really is talking about the post that would come later. We Christians haven't tapped into the real dimension of faith that's activated through fresh fleshly problems. I'm going to say that again. We Christians haven't tapped into the real dimension of faith that's activated through fleshly problems. We're not using what we got. Oh, Jesus.
Amen.
We're not using what we've got. We're suffering in vain. We only look for him in physical and financial distresses. Now, faith wasn't bi-directional. Faith wasn't bi-directional, looking for salvation in the soul as well as our outward well-being. We only look for the breakthrough we needed at the time, and that's been the problem. And this is where God wants to solidify us tonight in this balance, that we utilize these things. We utilize these things that we're falling short in. Think about something that you're still falling short in. Think about something that has not yet been made perfect. And in the temperament of the Lord, in the place of authentic faith, take that thing that is not yet perfect and speak to the Father. And let the husbandman, let the Omega of our kingdom, the one who brings results, make the change. Take the deficit. Take the suffering. Use it in a different way. Let your faith become bi-directional. Take the place of that there's a problem in the soul. Use the problem of the soul. The problem of the soul that's causing physical and perhaps financial distresses.
Amen.
Take it. Don't let it come in vain.
Amen.
You already know it's bringing areas that buffet and bring gaps between you and kingdom living. Now use it to become a bridge to walk right through the post of his doors, right into the gates. The trial awakens your faith unto the inheritance, it says in this particular area in 1 Peter 1, 6 and 7. It says, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, remember this should come back to you now, though now for a season, if need be, powerful, three powerful words, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations. Why? If need be, why? That the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. If need be, it says, you're going through manifold. It means various sorts. If you've got various sorts of issues and problems, it's because God is really trying to train you to get to the place where faith, authentic faith, is activated. You need them. If need be, you're in heaviness. Oh, through so many various sorts of temptations. Why? The writer tells you why in verse 7. Because the trial of your faith is much more precious than of gold that perisheth. He's trying to get you to your place of inheritance. He's trying to get you to the place of authentic faith. These things, if need be, you're going through them. The note here it is once again. Once again, we see that if needed, you're in manifold temptations for the purpose of your faith to be activated. He's revealing here the press we should be in to get to the post. He's revealing the weight that we should be in at the post of his doors. We should be waiting, my God, don't move. Until the temperament of that manifold temptation has been lifted up off of you and the temperament of the Lord has been placed on you. Amen. If you need it, he said, I'm going to train you through manifold issues, various sorts of problems. I'm going to let the fireworks begin of trouble. Why? Because all of this plethora of issues is a buffet that you eat from that will give you a source of sustenance to take you and carry you to the post of his doors to put on authentic faith.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. That's why God told us a few weeks back, we are now in a position of becoming unstoppable. Unstoppable. Nothing can stop us. Man, oh man, no weapon formed against you can prosper. Why? Because the weapon that's formed against you will be used. You'll take the bullet and you'll shoot your adversary. You'll grab it. You'll pull some matrix stuff. You'll grab what he's shooting at you. You're going to take it and use it as your weapon. No weapon formed against you can prosper. This is what will release the power of the Spirit through the Father's endorsement. It will bring forth Omega, our results. The writer said, if need be, meaning if your faith isn't awakened, then you're going to have to go through. The reason is, this is how we are kept. We are kept when faith is alive and moving. And the Spirit by way of the Father is producing the works, the life of the kingdom. Powerful. What a truth this is. So in the midst of this balance, in the midst of what's being said right now, you can take some of these weapons that you think have been coming at you, against you, and get a revelation like Paul said, nah, man, this thorn wasn't, no. This wasn't sent to take me out. This was sent to bring me in.
Amen.
It was given unto me.
Amen.
A thorn in my flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me. The Lord released him to come at me. Oh, my God. This faith is saving faith and saving grace that produces, that the prophets rather, and this is where I'm going to be closing. This is so powerful. Listen to this. What I'm talking to you about right now in its totality, the prophets wanted this. What I just described to you, they wanted this. They saw this as grace, and they saw it as glory. I need you to imbibe that. They saw a people that would operate in this. And man, they desired it, but it wasn't for them. All right, here we go. 1 Peter 1, 9 through 12. Here we go again. Receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace, they called it here, the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. Verse 12, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, it wasn't for them, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels even desired, the angels desire to look into. That's a whole mouthful. What am I saying? Here's your note. The prophets saw this, and the angels desire to look into this. They saw how through faith, the glory that would come unto us if we don't allow our sufferings to be in vain, and let them by faith activate the power of the promise in us. If we do this, they actually saw a people, us, walking in an inheritance from heaven. It wasn't for them, but was and is for us. They saw a people who come to the end of their faith, reaching the place of the salvation of their souls. They saw all of this. They saw people. They wanted to know, is this us that would walk in this type of grace? They saw this. They saw people that would come to the end of their faith and come into the salvation of their souls. They inquired of this salvation. They're saying, my God, wait. These guys come to the end of their faith. They come to the end of their faith. There's a people out there that's going to use the sufferings and turn sufferings into glory. They're going to turn sufferings into the glory that would follow. It says here, even that Jesus, the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. And watch this. They saw a people that would come into this. They literally saw this. There's a people out here that's going to come into the end of their faith and come into the place where their souls are completely saved. If you understand what I said about getting to the salvation of your soul, you get there when you're at the end of your faith, when you put on the temperament of the Lord. What pushes you to that? Your issues, your problems. They saw people moving into the end of their faith. And getting to the end of your faith means you're utilizing the sufferings to stay at the post, to stay under the temperament, that nothing's going to disturb you. Nothing's going to distract you. If you guys understand me, just give me an amen. So I know you get what I'm saying here.
Amen.
Amen.
They saw this. They inquired of it. Who in the world is this our time? No, it's not. It's not your time. But they saw this. They prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. What is that grace? The end of your faith, the exchange of temperament. That's the grace that you will be influenced to get there and get the exchange made and move in the salvation of your souls and walk in it and see it. My God. Wait a minute. Unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, they ministered these things, which is now being reported unto you that preach the gospel. There's a lot being said here, guys, and I pray that you get it. I pray it gets you. I pray it grabs you. I mean, the prophets were looking, they saw into a people that were coming, that were going to move at the, they're going to be at the end of themselves. And they're going to be in position to be in a place of authentic faith. What grace this is. Oh, wait, what are you saying, Apostle? I'm trying to convey to you that your issues are part of the grace package. Your sufferings are part of this to get it done, to bring you to the end of your faith, to bring you into a place where the true salvation of your soul can come forth.
And Jesus.
There's nothing on earth or in any part of the heavens that can stop you. This blessing.
Bless God.
Sickness, disease, all, anything sent that is in a negative form is meant to push you. If need be, you're going through manifold temptations. Still going through it, and it's because it's needed. Because apparently you haven't broken. You have not broken. You have not broken. You have not broken. You have not broken.
Uh-huh.
You're still holding yourself up. No. Let that thing break. If need be. Get to the end of your faith. So the Lord is revealing something here to us early in the series. We're not even in the middle of the series. We're still at the beginning, at the closer to the beginning than even, I believe, the middle. Yeah, we're closer here. He's revealing something to us here. There's really nothing here that can stop you from getting to the post of his doors. We carry no excuse. They saw us. They saw us walking in this grace. They saw us the end of faith, our faith. I find that amazing. See, I didn't just put the scripture by itself together. I put the entire experience. The Lord had me put the entire experience. When you understand what the end of your faith is, you then understand what the prophet saw. The end of my faith is the end of me and the temperament of Christ being put on me. They saw that. They saw this level of salvation. See, in your Bible, unfortunately, TGM, and I feel the Holy Ghost here, in our Bibles, there was no other dimension of faith being taught, but an authentic realm of faith. There's no lesser realm of faith being taught here.
Amen. Amen.
They didn't see what we used to know, guys. They saw the rhema that we're under right now.
Yes.
They saw a people under authentic faith, where faith was not just trying to be used for success, but they saw a people moving in the salvation. They saw Jesus on us. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. That's what they saw. That's the level of grace they saw. Wow.
Bless God.
Jesus, I bless you.
Bless you.
So what's our takeaway for tonight? Our takeaway tonight is the Lord was revealing early that we won't allow sufferings to be in vain. We're going to let those sufferings to activate the power of the promise in us, and that promise is activated through the endorsement of the Father, the works that come to pass, the changes that are made in our lives, in our soul, and yeah, in our finances too, and any area that a God change is needed. But we're going to utilize these sufferings. We're going to utilize the the deficits, the shortcomings, the weaknesses. And we're being reminded again tonight to use them to go, to stay at the post. Now I've gone 5 minutes over, I apologize. Part six, we'll talk about coming into Sunday, sowing from the hearing within the hearing. The rhema of the post begins right here. Now we're gonna start getting into some meat here, more meat. But that's all I got for you tonight on this balance night. I pray that it found you. I pray that it grabbed you. I pray that it blessed you. I pray that it strengthened you. And I pray that you know that there's no weapon formed against you that can prosper. That every dart that the enemy has thrown, remember that? The darts that are thrown at you, man, those things are meant for you. They're meant for you, even if they're missiles, and that's what they mean, missiles. They're meant, man, to turn in your favor. Boy, oh boy, oh boy. Don't let your suffering be in vain. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for speaking to our hearts again. Thank you for strengthening us in the word. I thank you so much, Lord God, for really and truthfully revealing to us how unstoppable we are, how blessed we are. I am so forever grateful, Lord Jesus, tonight for the truth, for the absolute truth that you've given us. I'm really grateful, Master. And just help us to continue in it. Please don't let us be, Lord God, unconscious when sufferings and trouble comes our way. But help us to have a conscious mind, a mind that's alert and awake and realizes, like Paul did, all that was given unto me, a thorn to keep me at the post. Oh, God, help us to use it. And help us to use it to win, to places of victory, before places of falling and failure come. Help us, Lord God, to use it. In Jesus' name. And everybody that agreed, just say amen.
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 Amen. Praise God. Praise God. That's all we got for you tonight. Part six. Oh, no, I said Sunday. Part six tomorrow. I will be on the line tomorrow for part six. We are going to start in to where the revelation of the post is unraveling. And then when we hit that, we're going to hit hyperspeed, man. We're going to hit hyperspeed and we're going to be flying through. So don't miss them. And it's going to calibrate where the revelation of the post. Amen. This is how we quench the fiery darts. Amen, Elder. Amen, Elder Donna. This is exactly how. We take them and use them. Amen. You know, you take that. You take the speed that's on there, that it's moving under, all of that that force that it's traveling in, and just hitch a ride to the post with it. That's all. Hop on your missile, man, and ride right to the post and right. Get there. And when the temperament exchanges come, talk to God about the missile that was fired at you. Talk to him about the suffering that came at you. Speak to him about that. And let him quench it. Let him put it out. Praise God. Amen. Praise God. All right. Amen. So tomorrow night, we'll be in session six. And we will go from there. And again, the post-revelation is going to unravel. That will bring super strength to everybody that has been under the teaching. And even if you haven't, it'll find you and bless you. Amen. Love you guys. And I'll look to hear from you tomorrow night.
Me too. Love.